Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We're in a series called Stand Firm, and as we continue on in week four, I always love to share a verse for us to help get our minds set on who God is, and that we can come to him with wherever we are, and that he's in this place. It says this in Matthew 11. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and that burden I give you is light.'" Today we get to come to God with wherever our hearts are, and we get to go, God, we get to bring our burdens to you. We believe that you're here. God, we believe that you're humble and gentle, that you want to teach us, you want to encourage us, walk with us. And if there's even one thing today that you can grab from his word to encourage and strengthen, I hope that that would happen in your hearts and in your life today. But before we get going too far about where we're going, a little bit about where we've been. This series has been birthed out of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, what's happening is in Acts, the gospel had been proclaimed. Jesus had ascended to heaven. And now in light of that, the church's message was going out. But then you fast forward, it scattered and they were facing persecution and difficulty. And in the last several weeks, we've talked about having faith that works, that moves, having a hope that doesn't make sense because of who Jesus is, regardless of what's happening, a love that labors. And in light of those things, standing firm on the truth and what is true in a culture that tries to change and say things, we stand on what's true. We live a life that's pleasing to God in light of what he's done. And today we get to talk about encouragement in persecution, trials, suffering, and difficulty. And so if you're following us in our notes, that's the first place that we are. I thought no better place to start this subject than in Colossians before we dig into Thessalonians, because it's important for us to know this truth today. It says, "You are dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Listen to this in verse 15. "In this way, he has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He has shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." I don't know if you knew this today, church, but we win, amen? That in this battle that we have, we know that the war has been won. That because of the cross, although there seems like battles lost, we know the war has been won. And we don't fight for victory, we get to fight from victory. The reason why it talks about standing firm, which is a terrible battle strategy, is because we don't have to take ground. We're already standing on the ground. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it, amen? And so we stand firm, and the devil likes to sit on the outside and lie and deceive and isolate and twist, but we get to stand on that ground, which is victory because of what Christ has done. And so as we talk about persecution and difficulty and opposition and troubles that we face, we have to start there to go, we know we win. And so in 1 Thessalonians, it starts off with persecution that was breaking out. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. It says, "And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who because of their belief in Christ Jesus suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they have persecuted us too. They failed to please God and work against all humanity. Here's what I would say this morning. When we stand for Jesus and we wave the Jesus banner, we will face persecution. We will face opposition. We will face troubles. The enemy will come. And what we're not saying is that persecution's around every corner, and when you pull up to the stoplight and it's not the green and you're like, oh, I'm persecuted. We're not talking about every corner, right? The devil's not around every single corner. He's not God. But when we stand for Jesus, we will have that opposition. And the church saw this. And then it goes on in 1 Thessalonians 3, and it says this. It says, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens. And when we sent Timothy to visit you, he, our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ, we sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you were going through. But you know that we were destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you. You see, when these troubles come, he's saying that I told you they would come, and you saw these come into your life. That as it came, we were worried that you were shaken. And one of those weeks for us, church, is we could be shaken in here today, couldn't we? Maybe for what we talked about already, but maybe there's other things going on in your life, and there's times where it seems that our faith is shaken. And he says, in those moments that we send each other to link in on one another and to lift each other up, to encourage one another, to bear with each other's burdens. Because we have this tempter that, although is a defeated foe, tries to come and capitalize in these moments and lie to us. And so if you're in here because of different troubles in your life this morning, and you're processing through it and you feel a little shaken, guess what? You're not alone. This isn't new to the church. There are things and persecutions and things that come, and we're called to do it together. We're called to strengthen and encourage that these troubles were destined for us. That Jesus himself said that a servant isn't greater than his master. That if I have been persecuted and faced these troubles, that you too will also go through these things. In fact, Jesus told his closest disciples, the ones who he was closest with, the ones who saw him raise people from the dead, the ones who he saw bring sight back to the blind and feed the thousands, the ones who were the closest to Jesus, Jesus has some words for them in John 16, 33. It says this, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Who in here believes that God has overcome the world? See, these closest disciples who are the ones that saw all these things, Jesus is going, you guys are gonna face troubles. And in those, you can have peace in me. Not peace in your circumstances that aren't always going to be pleasant. They were, many of them, hunted and killed and persecuted and had all these challenges. But he says, you can have peace in me because of this. I have overcome the world. My heart has been very heavy today, just and this week, processing this message in light of all that's been going on. And as I've processed this, as I look at the word troubles, I was like, man, what does he fully unpack there with that word? And I looked into the Hebrew in this word, and I find it very fascinating. The word here for troubles that Jesus uses is the word thlipsis. This is what the word thalipsis means. It means pressure, literally or figuratively, affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution, tribulation, trouble, oppression, and distress. As believers, as we navigate through this life, it's easy to go, man, this is not our home, isn't it? When we see what the world cares about, when we see the things that happen, there's this distress, this heaviness to our hearts that we know that this is not our home, that someday our eternities are going to be with Jesus. And in the middle of life down here, we will feel these things. But here's what the Bible says in them. In 1 Peter, it says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at these fiery trials. Like something strange or wrong is happening to you. Have you ever felt surprised when things hit you or you see? It says, don't be surprised that God's gonna be with you. It mentions in James that you're gonna have many different challenges and trials. But to Jesus's words, our peace is in him and what he has done. Our peace is in the knowledge of trusting and standing firm on the reality that he has overcome the world. Romans 8 says, does it mean that God no longer loves us? If we go through trials and difficulties, if we're hungry or destitute or hunted down, he says, may it never be. Overwhelming victory is ours for those who are in Christ Jesus. He goes on and says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not angels or demons, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. It also says in Psalms 23 that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Who believes that today, church? He walks with us. He doesn't say that he negates the valleys of the shadows of death. He doesn't say that he's gonna take them away. It says as we walk through them, he will be with us. And I don't know about you, have any of you made a mistake in those valleys of the shadows of death? Where we didn't have faith for a moment, or we slipped up, or we didn't trust. And we have a God who walks with us in those. But the reality is as we walk with Jesus, our hope and our eyes are on him, our peace is in him, but we will face persecution. And we will face trials and warfare. And the first part I want to hit is persecution from people in this world. The Bible says, as we face persecution from people, Jesus on the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We, as we look at the world and as the world throws persecution at us, do we have a heart that says, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Or do we have a heart that says, go rally and we're gonna fight them? Makes clear that we're to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus stood there silently before the shears on our behalf to give his life for not only us, but for the people who put him there. In persecution, it mentions that we are to be ready to give a response when the world either persecutes or throws ideologies at us. Things like comments and statements and ideas that are out in the culture where it says, for example, unless you love everyone and accept everything that they're doing, you actually hate them. And if you don't, you're a hating bigot. Those ideas in our culture are there meant to put us on the hot seat and God on the hot seat. And then we get to speak the truth in love that says, no, it is loving to stand up in love and to share the truth in the heat of persecution. Listen to this in 1 Peter 3. It says, now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way, keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life that you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for what is doing wrong. He makes these distinctions that as persecution comes, that we're to give a response in gentleness, that we are called to be people who love our enemies, that we are called to not suffer for doing wrong. We can't make the wrong decisions and then say we're being persecuted because of our bad decisions, right? We're not saying that the devil's around every corner, but he's going in the heat of these things. This is who I've called you to be. Which leads us to our next point, trials of many kinds and warfare. As I talk about trials of many kinds and warfare, I want to reiterate what we've already hit at the beginning before we do. The enemy has been disarmed, amen? He's been made a public shame that Christ has won. But it would be very foolish in this conversation if you go to either side of this extreme. On one extreme, it would be foolish to talk about how powerful the enemy is, how crafty he is, that he's just amazing at what he does, and making it like we have to fear him. He's defeated, that in Christ we can stand our ground and resist the devil, and it says he will flee. But it would also be very foolish to not mention that we do have an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. We do have an enemy who seeks to get in our minds, to pull us from the victory that we stand on by believing his lies. Both are true. And it says this in Ephesians 6, it says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. It mentions this battle, that we can stand firm through it, that we have an enemy who seeks to kill, and it says he has these arrows, and it mentions that we are to put on the armor of God and to not do it alone. As we talk about the armor of God, when the devil comes and he says, you are far from God, you can't get to God, we go, no, I have the shoes of peace. I have the peace that surpasses understanding, that my relationship with the Father because of Jesus, I have peace in the middle of the fight when it doesn't seem like the situation is peaceful. I have peace in Christ because of what God has done, amen. When the devil comes and says, you've done too much, yeah, God has saved you, but now here you are again. We go, no, I have salvation, the helmet of salvation, that in Christ I am secure and I'm broken, yes, I am flawed, yes, but my salvation is in Jesus. When he comes and we have the sword of the Spirit, where he says, you're worthless. You have no purpose. You are not unique. We go, worth is defined by what someone is willing to pay for it. And God paid my ultimate price in Jesus. That my worth has been placed on me because of Christ. When he comes in and goes, man, you're so flawed. You go, I have the righteousness of Christ. I have the righteousness. I'm declared righteous, not on my own righteousness, because the righteousness of Jesus has been credited to my account. And in the battle, how many of us ever believe the devil's lies? Anyone? And we go, what is the truth? What does the truth say? That God's gonna be with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That God thinks about me more than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. That God has forgiven my sins as far as the east is from the west. That God's truth is a trustworthy anchor for my soul. That is impossible for God to lie. That he has given us his oath and he has given us his promise that we can stand on. You know what's the funny thing about armor in the analogy? Is that kind of armor you actually can't put on by yourself even if you wanted to. Do you know they had armor bearers? And not only to put it on, but to take it off, you needed one, maybe multiple people. You see, God in this battle made us to not do it alone. To actually go, man, you're not too far gone. Brother, it's okay. Sister, it's okay. We'll do this together. You see, we're not made to do it alone. And the devil is so good at getting in our minds, isn't he? And in our hearts. We don't have to do it alone. And we can stand on the truth. And you know what's crazy, church? Paul the Apostle, who's one of my heroes in the Bible, wrote the most about grace. And I just love his teachings that are ultimately from God, because God's word is God's word. But he used Paul. And did you know that in an instance in that battle, Paul wrote in his word, in the notes, it says the verses, he says, I despaired of life itself. Have you ever despaired of life itself? If an apostle says that, you better bet that we will have moments of that. But we can come together and do it together. And although it is challenging and it's not easy, the Lord says, trust, you can trust in me. It says this in Hebrews 10. It says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and we were beaten. And sometimes you were helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you and you accepted it with joy, you knew that there were better things waiting for you that last forever. So do not throw away the confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Listen to this in verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. You see, in the fight, it says, patient endurance. I hate to be patient. Anyone else? It's so hard to be patient. But he says, in the fight, don't give up. Strengthen one another. Keep your confident hope in the Lord. We can do that, church. It also says, though, in his word, that it's not easy. And when it's not easy, Romans 12:5 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. In the fight and in the battle, although the war is won, it says that we can rejoice with those when we rejoice and we praise the things of Jesus, but it also says mourn with those who mourn. This is one of those weeks, isn't it? Where it's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep. You see, Jesus often went over the people and it says he wept. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep when it's challenging. But we can choose with each other as we help each other bear arms together where we're going to fix our eyes. You know what's crazy about Paul? In Philippians, Paul writes, and Philippians was written from a jail cell. And all of us have our own jail cell moments, don't we, church? And he writes this crazy passage from a jail cell after being captured and beaten and hunted and all these things. Listen to what Paul writes in Philippians 4. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Listen to this in verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Do you think that there were things that he was worried about when he wrote this letter from a jail cell? What is God gonna do? Is this the end? How's it going to work? How's God going to work through this? He's not unfamiliar to the enemy's strategies. He himself says that. We're familiar with all the devil's schemes, he says in other passages. But here he says, man, that we can cast our worries. We don't have to worry. We can come to God. We can pour our hearts out to God and go, God, we need you. We need your help. And then it says that in that, we can thank God for what he has done, because regardless of whatever cell moment in which you sit, if your eyes are fixed on what is eternal and what Jesus has done for us, that he forgave our sins, that he's changed our eternities, that although there are moments of not seeing or understanding, that we can fix our eyes on what he has done and what he does promise us. That we can put our eyes on the things of heaven. That we can have peace in him, as Jesus himself said, not because the situation is peaceful, but because our peace is in him. I want to ask you today in your life, with whatever is transpiring in your circumstances, where have your eyes been fixed? Please do not listen to the devil. Please do not listen when he comes in and says, you have no worth. Please do not listen when he comes in and says that you have no way. Please do not listen when you might find a situation where your back is up against the wall and he gives you no way out. Do not listen to him. Listen to what your Savior says, that he loves you, that he's with you. He's gonna work in your circumstances. To trust them, to do it together. You know, as I've processed this message, the heavy heart, I was processing some of these things in my life and story. 8 or 9 years ago, it's been now, I had a lot of clean time after being an addict, and then some crazy mental health started flaring up, they think maybe from all the drugs that I used to do. And I remember sitting at the mental health facility where I had to step back and not work and go seek out help. And I remember sitting there with my wife, and the doctor before we left said that this is bad enough that you'll probably be permanently disabled. They said that you'll never work again. They said that you would probably have to be homebound. And I remember sitting back and being so surprised and going, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And the thoughts and the stuff. And it was just so bad, I couldn't leave my house for a while. And I remember the people that had to come in, my dad being one of them, but so many in this church, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for the people who did it with me. And my dad said, you can't believe what you see, what you think, and what you feel right now. You just got to trust God is who he says he is. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when everything is a painted picture of what doesn't make sense and the circumstances scream one thing, and you got to go, God, I'm going to trust you. And obviously it didn't work out the way that they said, but I would like to say it's gone. Every day is a battle for me where we have to choose, all of us, because we have an enemy, says that all of us are going through the same kind of suffering that the rest of our believers are, that we have a devil who comes in and he lies to us. And it says that we have to choose to capture those lies. To go, I feel worthless when the devil lies to me, but God says I'm not. That I feel like I can't get through this, but God says that he'll be with me. I feel whatever it is for you and your story, we have a choice to together, not alone, to go, God, I'm gonna fix my eyes on you. As we get ready to close this morning, I wanna ask you some questions as the ushers get ready to pass out communion, and don't let them transitioning get you distracted from these questions. First one, I wanna ask you today, what are you standing on? What are you standing on? Wherever you stand today, regardless of whatever your thoughts tell you, you can cry out to Jesus. For those of you who are standing on the truth and it's not easy and you're patiently enduring, you get to sit back and look at the people around you and you get to strengthen them as Paul said he did. He sent Timothy to strengthen when their faith was shaken. We need to strengthen our brothers and sisters and we get to do it together. I want to ask you, are you doing it alone? Please don't do it alone. Please don't let the enemy get you convinced that you're alone, because you're not alone. I know the thoughts that I face. I don't care how put together you seem or put off. All of us face these lies. Don't do it alone.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.